Okay. Okay, back in session, we're going to do all right, J.
11:30.
J8.
Morning again, board members. Ed Underwood, administrator with the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation. J8, we're requesting an approval of an after-the-fact offshore mooring for Kailua Bay, Hawaii Island. Basically, this is part of the, and also an exemption from Chapter 343 based on our exemption list. This is those moorings that were going around the state trying to get up into compliance, and they've met the all the, they've had their structural engineer, got their permits in place, so now we're asking the board to authorize this mooring.
So not a new mooring?
No, it is not.
Existing mooring.
Okay, does anybody have any questions about this? No? Any public testimony? Okay, if not, is there a motion to approve J8?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob.
Richard's out of all the heart.
Sorry, Richard.
No.
D3 is we're requesting cancellation of an existing RP to the Key Aikido Club of Kapa'a and a waiver, and our recommendation is waiver of the phase one requirement in the RP and the issuance of a direct lease to the parent organization in Honolulu, Hawaii Key Federation, for clubhouse purposes. If the operator will still be the Aikido Club. And we're recommending, you know, a nominal rent on this.
Okay, questions on this? Board members, how many questions? Okay, any public testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve D3?
Move to approve D3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Right.
D4 is, sorry about this, but it was, the applicant is wants only not, she doesn't want a utility easement, only wants an access easement because she's a kuleana lot and gets it for gratis. And doesn't want to have to pay for utility easement she's not going to use. So we're here amending it to limit it to access purposes. That's the only change.
Okay, questions?
This one is the one. I was on the phone confirming that the person is the Kuleana. You see Sose's memo in the back, right? On parcel 3 being the Kuleana lot.
It's not grant 88-4.
It's the Land Commission Award 81-24. You see this exhibit? It's on the end. This is the abstract. Several pages before the last.
This one with the yellow.
I just did. Yeah, and then I confirmed it. And then you got to look on the May 2015 submittal, which is not the one this today, but the one that we're amending. And it refers to the Bennett property as being parcel 3. The TMK in the remarks section.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because under the other ones.
Yeah, the other ones what are not cleared up.
That's it.
Okay. Any other questions? Any public testimony? Not, is there a motion to approve D4 submitted?
Move to approve D4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, you're letting him go?
Yeah.
Oh, Richard. Okay, J2 through 7.
Well, not every day.
It's really short.
He's going to go J8. 2, 3, and 4. And
no, I have.
Wait, what about?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got Russell here.
No.
It'll take long then.
Okay, J2.
Okay.
You should explain every ramification.
Okay. I can read it verbatim. But anyway, item J2 is consent to sublease under Harbor Lease number H-82-4 with GKM Inc. as a sublessor and Goose's Edge Inc. as a sublessee at the Honeycomb House Small Boat Harbor.
J3?
Oh, J3?
No, this is J2.
Okay. Oh, no, J2. We wanted to do a series of them.
Oh. Do you want to see if, okay.
Well, yeah, you might.
Do you have anything to clarify on J2 through 7, 2 through 6?
Yeah, any changes?
No. Oh, for J, I believe it is J4, the applicant could not be here, but they did email me their testimony. This is for the right of entry to AVP.
Right. You know what? Let's do that after. Let's do 2, 3, 5, and 6.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions on 2, 3, 5, or 6?
Yeah, I do. I have on 6, but let's go down the list.
Okay. Any questions on 2, J2?
No.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Okay. No public testimony. All right. Is there a motion to approve J2?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, J3, any questions on J3?
No, just a comment that didn't we had a higher percentage on the Honeycomb House public auction. I think.
I can check that. I don't have that offhand.
Yeah. I think that the upset is pretty good on this one. I mean, I'm not going to make a point of it. I just wanted to. I think we had a pretty.
House was 50% or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a small. It's much smaller.
Yes.
Operation than the.
Well, as I said, I think the upset is pretty good on this piece of property, so I'm not going to make a point of the percentage, but just a comment that we did have a much higher percentage of Honeycomb House, and we got bitter, you know. So. Okay.
Okay, any other questions on J3? No public testimony. Okay, is there a motion to approve J3?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. J4, you're handing out.
Okay, so as I mentioned, the applicant was not able to attend, but they did email me their testimony. Last year, when this matter came before the board, Land Division handled it, and they were charging 10 cents for the event that fell on their land and 25 cents for the event that was on Boating's land, and I believe the board ended up charging 10 cents a square foot per day for the entire event. In this submittal, it's slightly smaller area they're using this time around, but since we're handling it, we're proposing to charge 25 cents per square foot per day for the event. And in their testimony, ADP is asking to pay the same rent as they did last year.
And the reason for the change is because you're handling it now?
Yeah, we're handling it now. The thing is, we're bringing it before the board because there is a part of the event that falls onto Dukuhanmoku Beach, which is under Land Division. Normally, if this event were just on Boating's beach, we could do the right of entry without coming to the board, and 25 cents is the rate that we would charge, and so that's why we're doing the 25 cents.
So how come we don't have a uniform rate? Some is 10 cents and that's 25 cents.
That I do not know.
Beaches are more valuable.
Well, but if we have... We would charge 10 cents on a Land Division beach.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a facility here. I think a lot of these things are really small areas, but when we have these larger areas, I think even the 10 cents a square foot per day comes out to sometimes to really a lot more than, you know, I think it comes out to an unreasonable amount. I think 25 cents a day comes to, per square foot per day comes to an unreasonable amount. I'm not sure how they got so much less. I mean, I'm not sure how they got to 62,000 if it was being charged 10 cents last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Land division, sorry.
The area is the same.
The area's a little smaller this year.
No, but I mean, are they concentrated more on the Dover side now?
And I think the how it's distributed was the same as last year.
Barrett-Jones Land Division. As Richard said, the request area this year versus last year is more or less the same, maybe a small reduction in terms of majority of it falls under Bowling's area. To answer Member Gomes' question, how come we charged 62,000 last year? We just rely on the 10 cents for every single inch that they plan to occupy last year, regardless, physically, whether on Bowling's land or Land Division land. I still remember Member Donning asked us, why don't you guys just charge 10 cents? I said, okay, that's what the board decide. We were, last year I was recommending 10 cents for Land Division folks, 25 cents for Bowling's physical area. That's what we put down in the board seminar last year. But the board amended staff recommendation just across the board, 10 cents per square foot. And we calculated whatever the figure is, 62,000 basic, they got, I think, more than a week or so requested period. Not just one single day or a couple of days, because they need the setup and then they need to afterward dismantle the whole thing.
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
When you said that, it came back to you what we had in our discussion about it. And unless we have some kind of a basis why Dobor beaches are more valuable than Land Division beaches, shouldn't we just charge it all the same?
If I may remember, because we are. For Land Division, we do have a board policy, I think, day back in 2004, I forgot the date. We have been using 10 cents per square foot per day. And I think Bowling has their own system or policy or rule, whatever, to mark, they would require 25 cents per day.
Is it 25 cents by rule so that we can't change that? Or is it just their determination?
I have to defer to Bowling. Richard.
I'll wait till it popped up. My question was, the 25 cents, is that in the HAR? Or is this just what you, in your best judgment?
No, I believe that is in, I believe that is in the HAR. Russell was pointing out to me that he thinks the 10 cents should be for unencumbered land, which this obviously is.
Well,
but
we,
I don't think. But we don't, Russell.
So I was just, I just thought your 25 cents might have been the harbor, which is improved property kind of area. I don't know. And I was just asking.
As far as what the submittal says, as far as whether this is based on a rule or not, it says the rental is based on board approval at its meeting on December 12, 2014, item J2. The board action approved a rate of 25 cents per square foot per day with a minimum rent of $100 for the right of entry on encumbered state lands to the Division of Bowling and Ocean Recreation. And so I think it was just, I don't think it's set by rule. It's, it certainly sounds to me like it's just the board, you know, just like we said 10 cents at one point, they said 25 cents. So the board can, the board can alter it. And we did alter it for Ironman at Kailua Pier. So I mean, I don't think we're bound by it. I think there's at least one pretty clear basis for changing this, which doesn't change it that much. But you're charging, the submittal says 28,638 square feet times 25 cents a day, which is both the 24,000 square feet of Dobor and 4,000 yeah. square feet of
right.
And so that would knock off a little bit of money if we lowered the land division, but not as much. We lowered the land division portion to 10 cents a day instead of, and that would only be fair. I mean, that's actually the correct way, you know, under those existing policies to do it. But it doesn't knock off as much as we are being requested to by the applicant.
Well, if I were to have to choose between what the applicant is offering to pay versus 10 cents per square foot, I'd take what the applicant is willing to pay because right. it's more.
Right. Because somehow they've cut this down, either the usage by number of days or the area has been cut down sufficiently. Because I think if we went to 10 cents a square foot, we're talking about 40,000. We're talking 40,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. The applicant says charges the same at 62,000. Changing that little area, the land division area, to to 10 cents, that saves $8,400, I think. Say $600 a day times 14 days is about $8,400.
So, do you want to make a motion to accept the applicant's offer?
I'm inclined. I think, you know, I think that's more than reasonable for this event to get 62,000.
I agree with that.
Good. Okay, I'll move to amend the submittal or approve the right of entry, but at a rate of 62,160.
Second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Public testimony? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
All right.
That was straightforward.
J5 is the continuation of revocable permit number 52 to John's World Famous Hot Dogs at the Alawai Small Boat Harbor. This is a hot dog concession. And we would like to keep it on an RP because we are currently doing the request for a proposal for the redevelopment of Alawai Small Boat Harbor. And we think that the revocable permit is a correct disposition in light of that. And we are, I believe, we are raising his rent 3%.
Okay, questions on J5?
Seems a reasonable action to me.
Any public testimony? No, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
J6.
J6 is a continuation of revocable permits to Anelakai Catamarans, Inc., Island Beach Activities, Inc., Kipoi Kai Limited, King Parsons Enterprises Limited, and Belakahal Catamaran, Inc., and Woodbridge, Inc., to embark and disembark passengers on Waikiki Beach for the purpose of placing permanent anchors in the beach in order to secure the vessels. These permits, we staff believes, are necessary to allow safe operations of the catamarans when they embark and disembark their passengers.
Okay, questions?
Have there been any issues with any of these companies?
Nothing I'm aware of.
With these companies, it's limited. Why doesn't this go out for public auction?
These are the, I believe, are the only companies that have permits to operate the catamarans in Waikiki.
Wouldn't have anybody might be interested in doing the same thing?
We have not had any, as far as I know, any requests for...
The other question I have is, why is the rent so cheap in Waikiki? The amount of people that they... Was this people ever had an audit done on them? Or?
Yeah, I don't know that these have ever been appraised.
I'm just curious. I mean, yeah. It's such a big moneymaker, Waikiki, and you $200.
Yeah.
What kind of gross that they make? Or, I mean,
I think they are paying. I'm not familiar with what they're paying on their permits for the catamaran visits. This is strictly for the beach.
25 cents a square foot for an anchor.
That's it.
So, I guess the answer to your question is they're getting a different rate for the boating permit.
Yeah, that might involve gross receipts. I don't know offhand.
I think, although I'm not a boating guy, I think, based on my being here this long, I think it was connected with some legislative mandate that Dobor allow catamarans to land on Waikiki. This is Waikiki.
Yes.
Something like that, because of a historical, just like Beach Boys, that kind of stuff. Something like that. I, as far as rent, I don't know.
Do you know if they are complying with their requirement not to be advertising on the beach?
I do not.
That was related to my question on whether or not there were any issues with these companies.
I know there have been some issues in the past.
Right.
So just
that's something I'd have to check with the Oahu District.
Just keep an eye on
okay.
it. Okay. Yeah. We sometimes get complaints when they do, but sometimes it's just a matter of like.
Tell them there might be another sweep.
It's good to take a walk down there periodically because sometimes they are sticking out billboards and stuff.
Okay, right. That has come before the board before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions on J6? If not.
In lieu of Oahu, I will move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Oahu RP is going to call up Barry Chung and Andrew Calio. Andrew recently joined us.
Yes.
He's helping out on this one. He's actually helping on the appraisal as well.
Good morning, Chair, members of the board. Andrew Calio, here to present the annual renewal of the revocable permits for the island of Oahu.
Barry Chung, Land Division.
Okay, just to be clear, this is item D5, our last item.
I'll leave my comments a little bit.
I have an opener. Do you have opening statements, or shall we just take questions?
Barry Chung Land Division, this is the end renewal of all the revocable permits. Today we are talking about Oahu cases, and based on the task force report back in, I think, 2016, I believe, that we come to the board for individual counties, and then we try to incorporate as much information as possible. We send out the original draft submitted to other agencies for comments, and then we try to address those comments in the exhibit attached to the board submittal. Without further ado, maybe if the board has any questions on the specific permit or the general, as member just mentioned, add the location into the exhibit. We definitely will look that. We will incorporate that in the next round of renew, which I believe is for Big Island.
So I have, just to open it up, we got OHA testimony
yes.
this morning. Could you please explain how you've addressed the questions that OHA raised?
If I can start, Chair. I just wanted to point out a couple,
the very first item which I looked at was involving Peter, and Ojai is talking about SNA, and I just want to point out that Peter is seaward of the ocean shoreline, and that is not within the SMA. The SMA involves the land-based side.
Okay.
So, and they have several of those SMA comments, but it, you know, anything involving seaward of the shoreline is not a
So we're going to start individually on those specific permits?
Whichever works best.
Okay, maybe I'll just do a quick individual cases.
Okay.
I assume all the board members have a copy of OHA's comment. For example, the first one, we talk about RP 5408. This is the one that we were trying to convert our pier into a long-term easement. During the process, we found out that other than the pier, the owner also have some seawall encroaching, so we worked with that, and then we came back to the board and got the board approval. And the survey folks is working with the private land surveyor to find out the exact area. We have the draft map from the private surveyor, but the deck surveyor have some questions on the data, on some figures, so they're working on that. In view of OHA's concern, because we went to the board, I forgot the exact, 2017, whatever the board date was, we can technically commence the easement retroactively to 2017 when the board first knew about the new area, the bigger area. So that would start the 55-year term easement. What I'm trying to say is the state would not be losing any revenue because we count back retroactively. The other comments about the type, the TMK, yes, it was a typo. We apologize for that. We will fix it. It should be, instead of 44111, should be 41111. Okay. Instead of 441, should be 411.
41111. Okay.
Next one, 5557.
There was a error in that as well. It appears as though in the Exhibit 2 was printed, for some reason the proposed rent for 2020 was omitted. That should be $43,794.96, which is a 10% increase over the prior year's rent.
That's in
5557.
Correct.
The number is $43,794.96.
That's correct. 43,794.96.
Okay. And for the OHA's comment, regarding SMA, we have asked DPP, as I mentioned earlier, the city DPP, for comments on the draft submittal. We didn't get any response from DPP regarding the SMA. If this happens to be an SMA violation, we will get a notice of default from DPP, then we start enforcing the typical compliance with all the federal law. This is in the Sand Island area.
This is industrial, right?
This is industrial, but happens to be in the SMA zone, right by the limits.
But we don't know what this is.
So let's move on to the next one, 6331.
Okay.
This is a pier abutting the a townhouse condominium in Kaneohe. As mentioned, as Russell mentioned earlier, We just have the pier, and we try really hard. I remember last time when we went down to the site, we even tried to peek through the management office and see whether there was anybody there, but looks like this condominium is really, really a quiet community. I hardly even saw a dog running loose on the ground. So, and then subsequently, a lady came and talked to us. We tried to explain to her. Her mom happens to be on the board of the AOAO, so we asked her if you could relay that to your mom, give us your response. But again, we have nothing so far. So if the board decided, okay, let's cancel this permit, that's not my recommendation, but if the board so decided, we just have to follow up with the board directive. Otherwise, we just keep trying to contact the AOAO.
Yeah, for those like that, we would also ask the board to order the
And just for further input on the condominium association, I looked into the association. It's a 40-unit association, so it's not a big association, like Barry said.
Yep. So I move on.
Okay.
RP7561, Honolulu Polo Cup. I've been trying to talk to Mr. Alan Ho, the president of the Polo Cup, various times. The last contact, that, last communication that we had actually happens on August the 9th, two weeks ago. He came back and told me that they're still working on the 501c3 detail. I don't know what exactly those details are pertaining to, but he hoped they can get it wrapped up by the end of this year. So I respond by basically asking Mr. Ho, we will check with him later this year.
There are a registered domestic nonprofit right now.
Okay, the next one is 7566, which is the Hilton Pier. I think OHA's concerns is about ownership of the improvement. I think we went through a lot of discussion when we had the case in front of the board previously. That's the only comment that I have for this one.
Okay.
And if we move on to...
I have a question for Bobby.
Sure.
Sooner or later, we have to get this resolved. This idea that this is... there's a question about ownership. We've had this discussion every year I've been on the board, and every year we have this issue whether or not we own the pier or we don't own the pier. And so I have no concerns right now about how it's being administered. My understanding is that they have a contractor there that is working to deal with vessels on the pier. And that part I don't have any questions about. But I do think that we need to have the state of Hawaii find out whether or not we own the pier or we don't own the pier. We have two ways to do that. We can assume we don't own the pier, and we can condemn the property, or we can have a quiet title action, or declaratory relief, and have the court determine whether or not we own the pier. As long as we have this question in limbo, we can't maximize our rent on the pier, and we can't have full control of the utilization of the pier and set up a system of RPs or leasehold for multiple RP holders or lessees so that we have more revenue coming in based on the number of people using who are passengers on the various vessels to tie up to the pier. Because the question of ownership is in limbo, we are not getting all of the rent or RP income that we should get as trustees of the land. We have a constitutional basis as trustees of the land as board members to do that. So I would like to see us have the Attorney General's office make a determination between now and next year which way we're going to go. Are we going to have a quiet title action? Are we going to have a condemnation or a condemnation or a combination of both? And I'm willing to wait and have them assess it and do a good job figuring out which way to go. But let's get it over here. This is the sixth year I've sat on this docket, and I think that for our best use of the property, we should determine once and for all who owns the pier, and if we don't own the pier, we should condemn it. I think we own the pier. We've looked at all the documents in the chain of title over many years, and Mr. Tsuji has presented that to us over and over and over again. We've seen legal opinions from the lawyers, from the hotel, claiming why they own it. And every year it says we have questions over ownership, and it's still unresolved. And I just think that for our best good, that we bring it to a head one way or the other.
Okay, 7587.
7587 is a pier connected to a house lot at Wailupi. I understand this permittee is living on the mainland. We tried to contact him. We went down there. We knocked at the door. We asked the tenant, can you talk to your landlord? But this gentleman still didn't come to us.
How many of the piers do we have outstanding because we can't contact the owners?
This is the one that...
It's just this one and the other one?
The other one is Kaneohe.
Yeah.
We met with the couple.
Right.
The couple, the guy just said, and that, oh, basically this is what he was telling us. And then I'm not trying to, I don't have any estate plan, I don't plan to transfer this further to the children, whatever. So he just wants to stay on this. He doesn't want any more further procedural or document process. We have a staff, can we have a talk really at length with this gentleman? But he just didn't like to convert into a long term.
The peers that we have under our jurisdiction, for those who have been on the board many, 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 many years, will recall that there was a subject of special legislation by the legislature to grandfather in all the illegal peers in Kaneohe Bay. And that special legislation, because they only dealt with Kaneohe Bay, but not across the state. And so there were other areas where there were similar piers built early on, but they did not benefit from such legislation. The department at that time, when it had the special legislation, I think OCCL, if I recall, did a blanket
CDUP
to cover them, and they were afforded below market value easement.
I mean, I'm just wondering if it looks like you only have a couple left.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you've. Looks like I see three.
Three, two in one in Waimanalo, one in Wailupi. This one, the couple.
I mean, is there? I don't know if we have a justification, but like, could we charge them twice as much under our rent under RP to try to incentivize them to go through the process to get them cleaned off the books? I mean, it's kind of. It's not really a problem, except that we agreed to go in this direction for all these piers, and these are the ones that are just kind of.
Oftentimes, they'll be based on the submerged land value, and I can tell you, it's not very much. As far as you're probably getting, because this RP is on a monthly or annual basis, you probably end up over the long term paying more money under the RP than they're going to get it under a long term easement. I can assure you, I see that all the time.
If I may to answer, Chair, your suggestion about doubling up the monthly rent, I just noticed 7590 in Kaneohe, 7590. It's only about, I think, 100 square feet here. Current rent is $207. We are proposing to raise to $480 already.
Right.
So we just, as a matter of coincidence, we recommend not in view.
Right.
So maybe this proposed raise will push them to us to get a long term. Per year. So instead of less than $20 a month, now we ask for $40
a
month.
Proposing that as sort of a minimum.
What is the minimum?
It's the minimum rent.
We try to use the $480 a year as the minimum.
Yeah. Looks like you're bringing all those up, those in the HECO easements, up to the minimum, the standard minimum rent. At least. So okay. All right, next.
Okay.
7590.
That's the Kaneohe one, the one that we were talking about.
Okay.
And then all our comments start talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 easement. RP saying that our rent is too low. So I'm gonna address really quick individually. 7242 is the banana co-op in Manawili, inside Manawili. even though the permit area is 190 acres, 190, but the actual area can be used by them is way less than 190 acres. Inside the valley, you've got a lot of roads, a lot of gully, a lot of ravines you can hardly use. So we don't know, we look at the CBRE appraisal, the one that make that fair market rent. I didn't notice that the appraiser took into account of the what we call the unused portion of the 190 acres. So with that, I would...
So that's your comment about usable acreage as well.
Exactly. So,
so how much is usable out of the 190?
I would say, just a really, really guessing, maybe less than 20, I would say. Because 190, is, I went there a few times into the valley.
Out of 190, only 20?
Because they only have a few members currently that actually still doing the farming. Not a whole bunch of people, not some. I think one of them is a retired Hawaiian telecom employee. I've talked to that guy. So not really, really intensive farming in the valley. But at the same time, they want to continue. So I didn't have a really actual count, I mean, a number of, but if you ask me now, I would say the actual area to be used, I mean, being used by them.
So what is the condition of the property that's not being used? Is it all overgrown? Is it all?
No. It's a typical valley. It's, you don't have that kind of vegetation. You have to cut the tree down to make sure no more tree fall on the road, that kind of thing. So we don't, from the staff, we don't see any problem for these folks to continue to use that land. We don't have any issue with them. We don't have any non-compliance items so far or a violation with them.
I have a question. After Jim, am I in order, Madam Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Does this property have state water?
No, it's in the valley.
There's no water
there?
That's
my understanding.
Okay. But where do they get their water?
Rain.
Rain, the individual catchment.
Waihole, yeah?
I'm sorry?
Is this Waihole?
No, no, Manawiri.
Yeah, Luluku, again, close to Likelike Highway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, normally we take party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, party.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay, 7517.
75147 is an RP used by the Olomana Golf Course. They have the lease area next door. This RP area doesn't have any legal access. It's blocked by the Kaneohe Highway. We checked the map. Again, I didn't see anything in the appraisal that the appraiser had taken care of this lack of access. So again, the staff would recommend keep the rent as what we are recommending in the Boston Middle.
Do you know what DOFAR is interested in having a property? You know why they want to set it aside? What they're going to use it for?
Not this area, not this subject permit. This is next to the Olomana Golf Course, Makai side of the highway.
Oh, you know what? 7517.
Yeah, 17.
Sorry.
Okay.
And then the next one, 7748 Roberts, Hawaii, in Sand Island, by that industrial area, Sand Island, close to the limit. Because we are capping the raise, I mean the increase at 10% this year, so we still have a gap for the even for the new rent to catch the fair market rent, came out from the appraisal. 7782. This is a permit, I think, for a concert hut in Waianae by the, my Ely channel. The family has been leasing the land since, I think, his grandfather's time. And then, basically, the concert hut, from what our understanding, telling us that the concert was actually built by the family. But
I remember we had a long discussion about this one.
Yeah. And this gentleman just happened to be the grandson, and then he lived there, he got a permit, he's in compliance. Actually, he's a good citizen. Last time he reported an arson case, that guy, I don't know whether you heard about that, in my night, using a torch just next to his property. He was called as witness to that lawsuit. So again, we are not recommending any change other than what we proposed in the bottom middle for this particular one. The last one is 783. If you guys recall, that is Mr. Hickens' property in Kuleo'o. His house is next to a steep slope that somehow he got an RP for a concert hut at the back. And again, Member Downing, when we were bringing this up, Member Downing, how come you guys can assess such a big increase? I mean, the appraisal. We agree with that. And the board decide to keep the rent at that level. I think last year, maybe a couple of years ago.
Can I just note that this issue of like how the appraisal comes out versus what this board determines is an appropriate increase gets a lot of scrutiny, and so I want to make sure we're paying attention to that, the difference between how it came out in our assessment versus the rent itself and where we are proposing increases of basically 10% a year to kind of phase in the rent increase. Yep. But again, I just want to point out that there's a big difference of opinion between the people who say you should be charging the maximum rent versus the people who say we should be treating these rent increases on a graduated basis. So that's for the board to decide. I just want to make sure you're focusing on that.
Looking at the audit, how many is it about 2 by, I'm on the same parcel. I think this is one parcel.
Which one? In Waipahu, you mean?
Yeah, Texan Hill.
94.
Yeah.
Yeah.
49. So
that's the one.
You guys ever tried looking into instead of going to a master lease to going to property management?
We are. Actually, at the next board meeting to be held on September 13th, we are coming back to the
recommendation is auction.
Yeah.
For master lease.
We already have the approval.
Not a master lease, but you get companies that do management. They manage your property for you. So you get one commercial property, you get 5 or 6 rented. They manage it for you. Just like a management company with it. I know this guy offered me they take 5% of the rent, but they manage the whole property. You know, if they need maintenance, they do them. If they can raise the rent, they gonna do them, but then they manage the property for them. You ever thought about
I thought, I think.
We did,
yeah.
But we felt it was in the best interest to enter at least a master. We were trying to enter the master sell the improvements so we can make it real clear we're not responsible for the maintenance of any portion of that building. But we, because of the AG comment, we struck that, and it's coming to the board as an auction for a master lease. That will have a provision in the lease that requires they maintain the building. And when I say that, because right now we're entering space leases. So technically, if you just like any office building, the landlord is responsible for the outside and all the major structures, and the tenant just takes care of the inside, which in this case involves a roof that we know will soon be repaired and other items in this area. And so that was what our recommendation is coming to the board. We did evaluate space leases like what you're suggesting or a property management type of situation. But still, even the property manager, as I know because I was involved in a shopping center, personal matter, when it comes down to heavy improvements, they will go back to the owners for the capital call. To put into the building, they'll take care of the rubbish, the sewer leaks and water leaks. But when you're talking build structural problems or that kind of improvements, roof or air conditioning for the whole building, they come back and make a capital call to all the owners, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. Right now, we're currently at risk of that. Fortunately, we've been taking care of as much as we can the improvements and the problems that have come up, and they have not been major problems yet with the building. But we also did a study, and we kind of know that the roof at some point has a life coming due.
The roof definitely is one of the item, what they call the deferred maintenance item, we have to fix, or maybe the subsequent master tenant have to fix.
And with this condition, you think people are going to somebody protect
well, them? Obviously it's going to impact how much we bid,
right? Yeah, it will be coming back to the board next month.
Yeah, because I just was looking at it, thinking, well, because you guys don't like take the responsibility of fixing the roof, that's why you went into putting that into the lease option for master lease. But then
it's also related to budget. Right now, none of this is budgeted for. As chair is aware, our fund, we often ask for an increase to spend the money in the fund, and that can cover major costs like this, and the legislature says no. And we've asked last year, for example, we were asking for at least $1 million, $2 million increase, and we didn't get any. And so it doesn't matter you have money in the fund. We can only spend X dollars a year, and they cut you off. And so that's some of the difficulties. And I'm trying to knowing all of this information as running the division, I try to figure out what is the best interest. Now, if someone else is responsible contractually to make the improvements, although, albeit we get less rent, they take care of the improvements. That's better than me having money, but not being able to spend to put back into the building, which is kind of like where we're at today.
Because in my case, commercial building with like four tenants, and I charge them per square foot a percentage for maintenance. If you guys fix a roof, so every month they pay enough. Every month